This is Ryan Zimmerman, and you are listening to Charlottesville's home of the Washington Nationals.
Pitch, lines a deep right center field. This one is way, way back there. It's going, and it's long gone.
Tuesday night, while we count the votes in the Virginia primaries and stay tuned for the results, we'll also enjoy a little off-Broadway presentation of the Damn Yankees as Washington takes on New York in interleague baseball.
Harper gets a hold of it, his 19th home run of the year.
Seville 107.5, WCHV. This is Ryan Zimmerman, and you are listening to Charlottesville's home of the
Washington. WCHV time, 519. Good morning.
You think the people of this country exist to provide you with position?
I think your position exists to provide those people with freedom. And I go to make sure that they have it.
The primary day, some final messages. Podcast channel at WCHV.com. We'll have interviews with Corey Stewart, E.W. Jackson, and Nick Freitas. But perhaps even more so to that is the issue of where do you vote? And we caught up with our electoral board member, Peter Werzer, who ran down a whole bunch for it. This is also available on the podcast channel if you want to share it with all your friends, because there's a whole bunch of new places to vote. So this is from late last week with Peter Werzer.
Primarily in the urban ring, and also Crozet. Let me quickly review what's going on. Okay,
absolutely.
First of all, St. Ann's Belfield will no longer host our elections. Okay, so what we've done with the folks who historically voted at St. Ann's Belfield, it moved them into our Jack Jewett precinct.
Okay,
so from now on, anybody who used to vote in St. Ann's will be voting at Jack Jewett
at the school.
That's right. We will be moving an extra machine over there. We'll move staff over there. So it's going to work out fine. It's going to be a precinct that's about 3,500 people, which is on the high side, but doable.
And remind people where Jack Jewett is.
Okay. Jack Jewett is located at 210 Lambs Lane in Charlottesville. Another way to think about it is to the right of Albemarle High School.
Mm-hmm.
If you're facing the high school.
Right, so turn in there, where I was saying there's some congestion by Lambs.
Yes.
Go down there, and Jewett is right there.
The very place. The other thing, though, is that we are creating three new precincts, and this is as a direct result of population growth in our growth areas. For example, right now we had, or historically had, three precincts that had over 4,000 registered voters. What this meant is that in presidential elections, what frequently happened in places like Freebridge, like Brownsville, like Crozet, and also like Cale, we would have unbelievably long lines, 20, 30 minutes. We would have parking congestion. The process was slowed down because when you have that many voters coming into that all-important 6 to 9 a.m. time,
right,
you can't process voters quickly enough, particularly if there's a problem with their address or there's an abnormality that we need to research.
Somebody moved, and all reasonable things.
All good reasons. I mean, it's just nothing you can do about it.
And there's nothing more fragile than an overwhelmed electoral system. And you may say that's living in the tall grass, but if you can overwhelm the electoral system, you can gain the electoral system.
Exactly,
so you want to be able to have everything kind of paced smoothly.
We want to stay on top of this thing because we would not be able to change. If we didn't change it now, we wouldn't be able to change it until after the next presidential
election. This isn't like a restaurant where you want it busy at dinner time.
Yeah. In fact, I'll tell you the thing I would say to anybody who wants to vote. If you don't have to vote between 6 and 9, let's say in a November general election, wait till later in the day. You'll find that the lines are a lot shorter. But let's talk a little bit about what's going on. Let's take Cale, for example. Cale has been split in two, basically. And the new precinct will be Biscuit Run, and it will be located over on the far side to the right in Monticello High School. Right now we have the Monticello precinct in the foyer in the beginning. That's no change there. But around to the gym on the right-hand side will be the new Biscuit Run precinct or voting location.
Okay. So actually there will be two places to vote at Monticello High School.
That's right. One will be at the foyer, which are the Monticello precinct, and the other will be the Biscuit Run, which are folks that used to vote at Cale. What that's going to do is split Cale so that when you go to Cale, you're going to move through more quickly. When you go to Monticello and you go to the Biscuit Run voting location, you're going to move through more quickly.
And anyone, you know, to ask anyone who tries to turn into Snow's Garden Center out there on Avon Street, with the new development out there, I mean, the traffic on Avon Street extended is just crazy
right now. That's
coming
right
into that area. So any way to split that up is good.
Yeah. And so we've got
people.
That done. In Freebridge, we've got another big, big precinct. What we've done is split that more to the north and the south. The northern part will be known as Pantops.
Okay.
And the voting will occur there at the Broadus Memorial Baptist Church at 1525 Stony Point Road.
Okay.
It's just up the street, maybe a half a mile or so from the Elks Lodge, which is will continue to be Freebridge. But again, we've successfully cut.
So the folks who live north of Broadus Run can vote there.
Yeah.
The folks who live along Pantops and some of those developments there will continue.
Yeah, there's some folks that might be living over around Martha Jefferson over that way that still would go to Pantops.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And people are, before we run into a break, people are getting this in their mail. So this stuff. This is
it's
in
already there.
Mail. Go ahead. No.
It's already there. If you got a voting new voting card since May 25th, you will please check it because you probably are voting in a new location. Make sure you hold on to it because that'll tell you your voting location.
All right, that was Peter Werzer, State Electoral Board, from earlier, late last week, reminding folks on primary day, and this will, of course, remain in effect for Election Day, but more places, splitting them up, making it a little bit easier for people to get to where they need to go in their primary. I thought this was interesting, an email from a friend of mine in the 7th District. Apparently, there in the 7th District, the Democratic primary, there's a CIA operative that's running an email from Gene that says, what is it with all these military types all of a sudden who have discovered that they're Democrats? I don't trust this at all. It seems like it's made for TV. Look, it's a Democrat and they're in the military. Is this because they're trying to win over Republican seats, or are these actual Democrats? Well, some of it, Gene, is what a friend of mine says is the fact that the Republican Party has sort of become less enthralled with neocons. Neocons, of course, were the big military spending, small everything else, small government everywhere else kind of conservatives. And that fell out of favor. Well, it started with the libertarian movement and what became known at the time, and please don't react to the phrase. The phrase alt-right originally meant libertarians who fought back against the military-industrial complex. It was co-opted later on by Dickie Spencer and the rest of his, David Duke crowd, who just needed a home. Sort of the way the moral majority infested the Tea Party as it went along in there. But so it was co-opted. So maybe the alt-right drove out the neocons, and then the neocons needed a home, so they found that big government spending, whether it be on the military or not, is something Democrats are okay with. But I think I saw a statistic in Politico that said, Gene, that 25% of the candidates running in Democratic Party primaries this year are military vets, active duty vets, some Pentagon veterans, which you certainly know they're in favor of big government spending in the bureaucracy. But I'd certainly think it is an opportunity for them. They see the opportunity. They want to seize the opportunity to try to grab that high ground. Joining us from the campaign trail, getting out the vote, Nick Freitas for Senate, one of the primary candidates. Nick, how's the voter turnout? I've been hearing it's light around the Commonwealth.
Well, I guess it's light right now, but we've got a long way to go today, and I think more people are going to be coming out later. But it's a nice day for it. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. It's just right. So please come out to vote.
All right, and obviously everything has gone into this, but what happens tomorrow? Do you think the three candidates can marshal together and not leave us with a GOP divided going into November?
I certainly hope so, Joe. I mean, that's definitely what we need to be able to do. Regardless of what happens today, we need to be able to make sure that we can we can unite as a party and basically get our message out and talk about it in the way it deserves to be talked about so that we can win in November.
Would you hold a campaign event with Corey Stewart no matter which one of you wins?
Yeah, I want us all to be able to come together. I want us all to be able to, you know, again, there's been some rough things that have happened, especially the last couple of days. I've seen candidates do things where they kind of do half-truths. I've never seen a candidate come out and deliberately lie about another one's record like this in a primary. And that's frustrating, but it's nothing we can't get beyond. We just need to be able to keep our eyes focused on what we're trying to achieve. And what we're trying to achieve is again, a commonwealth and a country and representation that reflects the values of this country, which I believe, again, are, Steve, the individual liberty, free markets, equal justice before the law. And if we can focus on those things, I think we can all come together despite, you know, some of the things that have happened during the primary.
All right, Nick, thanks for checking in from the campaign trail, and get out the vote. I'm hearing very light turnout, so your vote matters even more than ever before. Thank you, Nick. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, Joe.
Joining us on the line, checking in from around Election Day, get out the vote, get out the vote, get out the way. But right now it's been pretty quiet around there. Remzo Martinez, author, blogger, and political activist, is covering the elections up in the 10th Congressional District, where there's a GOP primary there as well between Shaq Hill and Barbara Comstock. Remzo, how is the voter turnout up there?
It's a little bit sparse this morning, Joe. Around 7:30 when I went to go cast my ballot today, I went ahead and asked the poll workers over at Centerville High School how many people before me had shown up, because, you know, I slept in compared to most people, and I was only number four. So then I went ahead and called another friend of mine. She was at the precinct next door, and I said, okay, well, now it's about 8 o'clock. What number were you? And she said, well, I'm only number seven. So we're several hours in, and I get it. People are trying to get to work. They might be coming in later, but, you know, typically poll workers and other folks anticipate this morning rush. I'm not really seeing it right now.
Do you think?
What I am seeing is that at almost every location I've been to, the Democrats have taken a day off of work, and they're showing up. They're passing out literature. They're putting up, you know, a gazillion signs. Now, they do have a gazillion candidates, but for Republican voters, like, where are you? Did you vote already, or are you going to vote later today? I haven't seen you.
All right, well, that's certainly concerning. Do you think that benefits Shaq Hill or Barbara Comstock?
I think it's primarily Congresswoman Comstock's race to lose. What we've seen is that Shaq Hill has, I mean, it's just really funny because he has this giant momentum I've seen that while I've been covering his race that none of the local outlets have been covering. Barbara Comstock has, for the most part, been in hiding. She might show up to a couple community events, but Shaq Hill is at every gun show. Shaq Hill is at every festival. Shaq Hill is in every neighborhood. And as I drive around the district, you know who I see throughout the day? I see Shaq Hill volunteers knocking doors. So I think this is not looking really well for Congresswoman Comstock. I mean, she had a chance. This should have been easy since she's a, you know, rather popular incumbent. But, I mean, Shaq Hill's pulling out those people.
Well, I appreciate the update from it. And what about the Senate races? Are you seeing a lot of enthusiasm for the Senate races? I guess if there's low turnout, it's low turnout for all.
It is. But let me tell you, two words, Nick. I have never seen so many, you know, apathetic people go from, I don't really care about politics, to who is this guy? Of course, Corey Stewart has a, you know, a very enthusiastic base of voters, and the Reverend E.W. Jackson has, you know, he's got his fan group. But whenever I go ask people who they're voting for Senate in the Republican primary, Nick Freitas is the name I hear all the time.
What do you make of this Roanoke College poll? We're talking to Remzo Martinez, author, blogger. What, and your book is Embrace the Libertarian or Race the, you know, Deface the Libertarian. What is your book coming out?
Stay Away from the Libertarians, which will be available in print and on Kindle next Saturday on Amazon.
And we got to have you back on for that. But real quick, last one on the Senate race. What do you make of this Roanoke College poll that says that despite the fact that not between 90 and 97% of the respondents had not heard of any of the Republican candidates, Tim Kaine was only ahead of them by between 11 and 15 points?
Well, I want to go ahead and see where they're collecting these numbers, because there was another poll that came out recently that was, I forgot whether it was Fairfax Times or somewhere else, but they went ahead and said that, like, you know, it was, the numbers were the same, like 97% never heard of them. Well, yeah, if you go ahead and survey like 40 people here in Northern Virginia, they're most likely going to be Democrats, and then you're asking them to know who the Republicans are. I want to know, did they go ahead and survey a large sample pool of maybe around 150, 250 people? And where were these people
okay.
from? Like, were they out in Charlottesville? Because if you're out in Culpeper, obviously you've heard of Nick Freitas.
Hey, careful with the Charlottesville. I'm getting enough people with Charlottesville in their mouth these days. I appreciate it, Remzo. Thank you, sir. And again, Amazon and again, the book coming out next week. We'll have you back on to promote the book when it's on there. Thank you for your coverage of the 10th District for us.
Thank you, sir. Go out and vote, people.